Welcome to another episode of Mission Compliance, Unleashing Growth Potential for Defense Contractors. Today, we're going to talk about something many defense contractors don't even realize is happening: ignoring or overlooking controlled unclassified information, or CUI, in the sales process. You might think, we'll worry about CUI once the contract is signed. But the truth is, the seeds of noncompliance often get planted before awards, in proposals, emails, sales collateral, and even casual conversations. In today's episode, we'll dig into where CUI lurks in your sales funnel, why it matters so much early on, and how to stop letting it slip through the cracks. Do you like scary movies? We're joined once again today by Mike Frieder, president of On-Call Compliance Solutions and a CMMC professional assessor. Do you like scary movies, Mike?
You know, I have to be honest with you. I've certainly seen my fair share of horror movies, but I'm not really a fan of I am not really a fan of scary movies.
Yeah, it's not my thing either. I'm much more a fan of like the suspense thriller that like
Yeah.
gets right on the edge of horror, but there's like nothing supernatural. There might still be some jump scares, but it's much more like dark, gritty, edge of your seat stuff. That's more what I'm into than
Yeah,
scary
I don't
stuff.
like those. I don't like those. The suddenness of most horror movies and how they get you. It's just not. That's not a pleasurable experience to me.
Plus, I'm naturally jumpy, so I don't need a scary movie to make me jump. Like if something hits my window too hard, I jump out of my chair.
That's
So
right.
you know. But anyway, Mike, a few weeks ago, we asked the question, what is CUI in the sales process? So today, we're going to take a step further and ask, what if you're overlooking that CUI? So with that, why do so many organizations assume CUI only becomes relevant after contract award? And what's the risk in that assumption?
Yeah, so I think, you know, a couple of things. One is there's a lot of companies we work with who have to access CUI in order to actually even create the bid, right? So, I mean, with that in mind, I think that it's a significant risk to even really, you know, be bidding on some of these contracts without a system that can handle CUI. Generally speaking, what people think of CUI when they think about it is what happens post-award. And the reality is there's usually a lot of CUI happening pre-award, which again is surprising to a lot of people, but a lot of folks have to be qualified in certain ways to bid. You know, for instance, you know, again, there are, you know, DoD file repositories out there where a potential contractor will go to access contract specific information, including technical drawings and things like that, that could be, you know, could be present. So, you know, with that in mind, you know, the salespeople oftentimes are in fact the first people to access CUI. And for some reason, a lot of times the IT folks, you know, they're not privy to anything before the work comes in. They're not privy to anything in the sales process. They're not privy to a lot of what goes on. That's just kind of like in that siloed house of sales, you know, in procurement. And so, you know, for some reason, it seems like there's never a very good communication path between sales and IT. And, you know, this is one of those instances that we've realized is very, very problematic for people. A lot of times what they're really thinking about is, oh, engineering is like working with these technical drawings to create the product that we do as a company. And for whatever reason, the sales teams a lot of times just kind of sort of skirt under the radar when it comes to compliance. But we have in fact found in almost all scenarios, particularly manufacturing is a great example, but really most scenarios have salespeople who could be touching CUI. Remember, some categories of CUI are very basic, things like cost information and cost data. Those things are supposed to not be public information. They're not supposed to be accessible. So when we see those kinds of things, we have to call that out. Here's a great example. There's a product called Salesforce, and there's a product called Salesforce Government, and a product called Salesforce Government Plus, for those who have really sensitive information, things like ITAR and nuclear and things like that, all of which have to be safeguarded and protected in very special ways. So again, not all systems are created equal, and it is vitally important for companies to understand that just because you haven't been awarded the work, if you have access to a system that is going to get you CUI, then you have a need to make sure that that is, that you're compliant with the systems that you're using to store, process, and transmit what you receive.
Absolutely. So, what practical changes would you recommend to a company's sales or business development team to help them spot and protect CUI earlier in the sales cycle?
Yeah. I think the first thing I would definitely recommend, Roman, is we want to get whoever is in compliance talking to the sales team or the sales director. That is one thing that I find just doesn't really happen a lot, and I'm not really sure why. Salespeople are very, very niche people in a company. They have one job, it's bringing the sale, and they don't often need vast amounts of communication with other areas of management in the company. They understand what their KPIs are. It's go close the deal, right? And so, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it's just kind of one of those situations where if sales are good, they get left alone. They're really not scrutinized a whole lot. And of course, rightfully so, management doesn't want to put any kind of real blocks in place that would prohibit or sort of slow down salespeople, right? They want maximum productivity per sales unit. So I think there's a lot of reasons why they get put to the side, but those are not good reasons. Those are unacceptable reasons, right? At the end of the day, salespeople could be some of the most dangerous CUI handlers because they're handling it at a very early stage in the process. Along with that, what would we advise? Well, number one, let's make sure that sales is included in the conversation. Sales is a unit of the company too. It's not just production. It's not just engineering. So there's that. Then there's the idea that we've got to look at what are the systems that salespeople are using. As an example, I mentioned Salesforce earlier. A lot of times, companies have some sort of sales CRM. So, for instance, maybe you're Yeah, I'll just pull manufacturing out of the top of my head here. Maybe you are a company who is manufacturing something and you're using an ERP like Sightline or something like that. Okay. Oftentimes companies use Sightline or are big enough to use Sightline, they're going to use Salesforce. Salesforce is kind of like the de facto tool in sales, just like HubSpot is the de facto tool in marketing and lead generation. So, when it comes to Salesforce has a bunch of different flavors, a bunch of different components to it. And if you don't have the right mix, you could just honestly be violating compliance and sending CUI to all kinds of different places that are not authorized. Again, Salesforce has products like Salesforce for Government and Salesforce for Government Plus. Those are tailored solutions to people like defense contractors who have higher levels of security need, who need that data to stay within the United States. And so I would immediately advise, first thing we have to do is review the tool set. Which goes right back to how does CUI flow? And if we don't have a person in the room when we're having those conversations that is sales related, there might be entire systems and ecosystems of software or SaaS solutions that we just might not even know about. So, it's a lot of communication and making sure that all departments of the company are involved in that communication. So we have a really good story about how CUI flows, what systems it touches. And you know what? At that point, then we can really make good decisions.
Absolutely. So with this last question, obviously we're protected by NDAs and that kind of thing. So no specific names, but what is a time, or is there a time that you or someone you know saw CUI appear unexpectedly during a sales or proposal exchange?
Say that question one more time. I want to make sure I really process that.
Or we'll just broaden it out to is there a time that you or the company or whatever saw CUI appear unexpectedly during a sales or proposal exchange? I'll just go with the full question again.
Yeah. So, I would probably say the answer to that is no in a sale to us, but that's because we're not purchasing defense-related products, right? But have I seen salespeople kind of pop out in the process and go, "Hey, we're accessing, various government systems to get at the technical information we need to bid." See that all the time. I mean, I really we see that in a majority of clients. So, it's a strong problem, right? The sales guys just kind of go, "Oh yeah, I'm going to XYZ government system and grabbing these technical diagrams and drawings, and I have access to that system. And we go, wait a minute, you're not supposed to bring that data down into, a non-compliant system. So I would tell you, I think that happens the majority of the time. They just have no idea. And there's so many different systems, and there's so much technical information that they're downloading, and there's so much pricing information, all of which is considered to be CUI. So yeah, I think, Roman, I think this happens all the time. It's kind of why we're doing a set of videos on it. It is a frequent problem. It's frequently overlooked. It's just a real area of short sight. And to be honest, it's interesting to me because we always get brought in because of what's going on in production, but then nobody really wants sales to sit in for, the initial meetings. And then they find out what this is all about and they go, wait a minute, costing data, that's a sales problem. So, this whole problem of DFARS, NIST, and CMMC, this really is a problem that affects every department in the company. It's very unique in its existence with that respect. So, yeah, I think that's definitely one of those situations that it does have a very unique makeup in terms of what has to be done.
And obviously we talk about, you mentioned that we've done almost like a series of videos on this, where both on our YouTube channel and in this podcast, where it was like we mentioned, we had the episode stating what is CUI in the sales process, and now we're like why you might be completely overlooking it. And that is the next logical step, because if you struggle to recognize it, you're going to overlook it, you're going to miss it, or it's going to pop up unexpectedly, like the question words. It's going to pop up unexpectedly if you don't immediately recognize it. So that just seems like the obvious thing, right?
Yeah, I agree. And that maybe that really is the root cause of this, which is, you associate what is compliant with how you're operating, but how you're operating is all part of that is how you're selling. So I think from that aspect of it, it's very critical to understand. But again, it just, what can I tell you, right? It gets overlooked, and it's really wild that it gets overlooked like that.
It's almost like, I led this podcast off with, do you like scary movies? And if you have, and a lot of these times, if you have the boogeyman in your house, even if the boogeyman has always been in your house, if you're not aware that the boogeyman is in your house, or you don't recognize the signs that he's in the house, you're gonna be surprised when you finally see the boogeyman in your house.
That's right. That's right. It's always a
So.
surprise. And to your point there, the boogeyman might be hiding in your sales department, right? It might be hiding in the systems that they're using, because let me tell you, no sales department wants to shift Salesforce. Like no one wants, like the level of customization that most sales programs have is really high. Nobody wants to go through that. So, very much understand that.
And if you've been with us for 126 episodes, now you know what comes next. It's our silly question to kind of break up some of the monotony of this. And speaking of things that are a little bit scary to think about, today's question is, if CUI could talk during a proposal meeting, or really at any point in the process, what would it say?
It would probably say, "Protect me."
There you
I
go.
think it would be pretty simple, right? I mean, I think it would be a cry for help and saying, "Look, I'm not just some random business information over here. Protect me. Protect me the way that I need to be protected."
It's like a celebrity that needs a bodyguard, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, short answer to that one today.
I was just talking a quick side story. I was just talking to my dad about a certain quarterback in the NFL that has had a series of injuries over the course of his career because his offensive line is bad. And we were talking about the most important, and I know you're not a big sports guy, Mike, but this is for our audience as well. And I said, the most important piece of your team after your quarterback, because your quarterback is the guy, you need to have that in order before anything else. The second most important piece is his offensive line, specifically his left tackle, because the left tackle for a right-handed quarterback, which is 90% of the league, is the person that protects the quarterback's blind side, that protects what he can't immediately see. So, in this instance, the CUI would be asking, where's my left tackle?
That's
Who is
right.
my left tackle?
I love it. I love it.
So I gotta sneak sports into it a little bit, but
Anytime you can.
and that wraps up another great episode of Mission Compliance. We hope our discussion today has provided you with valuable insights, practical strategies, and inspiration to navigate the ever-evolving world of defense. We'd like to thank Mike for joining us and talking again about what CUI looks like in the sales process. Thanks, Mike.
Always a pleasure, Roman.
But the conversation doesn't end here. We encourage you to continue exploring these topics and connect with us via our social media channels. Share your thoughts, ask questions, and engage with fellow listeners using the hashtag Mission Compliance Podcast. And if they haven't already, what should they do, Mike?
Well, sir, they should like, subscribe, and most importantly, tell another friend in the defense industry because we're always out here trying to help you guys. And, ultimately, it's something that I think they'll really enjoy.
You heard him. Hit that like, subscribe, or follow button on your favorite podcast platform so you always know when new episodes like this one are released. And we'd really appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review the show. Your feedback helps us to continue to bring you thought-provoking episodes and high-quality content. Join us next time as we delve further into the dynamic world of defense, security, and industry innovation. Until then, take care, stay informed, and make compliance your mission. See you next time.
Thanks, everybody.